I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, welcome to News Talk 830 WCCO. Henry Lake, no Mike Max tonight. I'm hanging out here at Target Center getting everybody prepared for a late one, a late tip here at Target Center. Wolves taking on the L.A. Clippers, the big, bad L.A. Clippers, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, great coach in Doc Rivers. We're going to take it all the way up into the pregame show on the Wolves Radio Network and WCCO Radio, radio home for Timberwolves basketball. And joining me here in this first segment is Cal Soderquist. Cal, I'm happy to have you here. You do a phenomenal job of being the host for the Wolves Radio Network, and we chit-chat all the time, right, either down the line or in person.
Absolutely.
As you get me prepared to take over and do, like, the pregame hits with Paul and Jordana, and I just want to say congratulations on the new role this
Thank
year.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Our guy John Folkey moves on to Charlotte, and he's got to be having a blast down there right now.
He's gotten so many close games to call, too. They've had buzzer beaters. It's gone both ways. It's been a lot of fun kind of following him from afar. But, yeah, it worked out well for me, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's – I wanted you to hang out here tonight with me. This is kind of like an impromptu deal.
Sure.
Right? Because initially this was going to be a 7 o'clock start, and then it gets shifted to 8:30, which is awesome because I always want to see the Wolves get highlighted on national TV, ESPN games. So that's awesome, right? But then when you do the adjusting, that means that, well, we got to move everything around, which is good for us.
Programming,
right? Yeah, exactly. So we're hanging out here. We got other people that we'll talk to over the course of the next 90 minutes or a little bit less than 90 minutes, and then you'll take over with the broadcast. But let's talk about this team that we're facing tonight, the L.A. Clippers. The L.A. Clippers, after we saw that Kawhi Leonard chose in free agency to go there and return home to L.A., and then we saw the major trade that landed them Paul George, everybody expected this team to be one of the favorites, to be one of the contenders, to be one of the great teams, and they thoroughly have been one of those teams. They played up to the expectations, I think, at least in my mind.
100%. They've almost been kind of methodical in the way they've went about it, where if LeBron and Anthony Davis and the Lakers have kind of jumped to the top of the standings, they maybe get more of the headlines. Certainly we know about the Clippers as well and the success they've had, but they're almost – they seem to have that long-term view of, you know, they're resting Kawhi. I think he's going to play tonight, but probably will rest tomorrow in Chicago. They're playing a back-to-back. By the way, Doc Rivers, not a fan of this 8:30 ESPN tip-off at –
If you're playing a back-to-back, you would not like that. You want to get in early and get out.
Yes. We heard from him at Shootaround this morning, and he was not pleased. He had a lengthy comment about that. But, yeah, it's a team, I think, that they really have quickly and comfortably kind of found their identities, both individually and as a team, how things are going to work either through Kawhi or at times Paul George. Paul George is so good off the ball, too, that he's really sort of underrated in that sense as a superstar. So they've been a treat to watch so far.
And I think that one of the things that you have to give Doc Rivers credit for is typically when you talk about putting superstars together, clearly guys that have not been with your organization, right? And this is all new. A lot of times it takes time to gel.
100%.
You got to develop chemistry. You got to figure some things out. And for this team to be playing this well right now, it's a little bit scary, to be honest with you.
It's ego management for the head coach a little bit, too. I think the job Eric Spoelstra did when LeBron and Chris Bosh joined Dwayne Wade in Miami initially really was well done in terms of getting those guys together quickly to mesh. But, yeah, Doc Rivers, he's managed egos before. And not to say these guys are hotheads or tough locker room personalities. That's not the case at all. They're just superstars, and they're used to being option one on their team. And that's why, again, Paul George is so good at that. Kawhi Leonard, too, is a guy that clearly values winning and will do the dirty deeds needed to win games. So I think Doc would be the first to say that he loves having those kind of guys as his superstars.
No question about it. Now, when you look at the Clippers and you look at the Lakers, and the Lakers are actually on the road tonight. They're facing the Miami Heat, and right now in the first quarter, into the first quarter, it is 25-24. The Lakers are trailing by a point. They're playing Jimmy Butler in Miami. It's LeBron's return to Miami, right? And Miami's been one of those sneaky teams so far in the NBA. I didn't think that, and maybe it's because of my bias against Jimmy Butler. I'm not a big Jimmy Butler fan. He can play. I didn't think that they would have enough immediately to be able to be a team that maybe could contend in the East.
Yeah.
And maybe I've undersold. Well, there's a couple of reasons why I feel like Miami is doing or playing at a level that a lot of people didn't think that they would play at going into the season. We knew that Butler was going to be an asset just because he's a good basketball player. You never know the dynamics of the locker room. Bam is, he is a better post player than a lot of people thought that he was going to be going into the NBA. When he was at Kentucky, I was like, man it seems like he might be an undersized power forward, but he's so athletic that he just gets the job done, and he works extremely hard and plays hard all the time. It's almost like he's the forward version of a Josh Okogie.
Sure.
In terms of his work ethic and how hard he gets after it. But I was a big fan. I even said this to Gerson Rosas leading up to the draft. I said to him, my guy is Tyler Hero. That's my guy. I preached it to Gerson, and he kind of smiled and all that stuff, whatever. And I'm in love with Jared Culver. I really like his game. But Miami is playing some good basketball, and it's going to be interesting to see how things kind of shake out with that game tonight.
100%. And Hero, like you said, has had a really strong rookie season. Bam, especially Adebayo, maybe one of the bigger jumps so far this year compared to where he was and kind of what he did for his team last year. So it'll be interesting to see if it, you know, regresses a little bit for him or if this is just the guy he is now. Sometimes
I think he takes off a little bit because getting Hassan Whiteside out of there, I think that helps him.
And sometimes that's all you need is that opportunity or that to be asked of you. Maybe it's a similar deal with Pascal Siakam in Toronto, and you know there's more on his plate with Kawhi Leonard gone, and he's certainly answered that challenge. So it's been fun to see.
Yeah. So when you look at the Western Conference, the reason why I brought all of that up with the Lakers and talking about them versus the Clippers is because, and I'm not sure if you'll agree with me or not, but when I look at the Lakers and the Clippers, because those are the two teams everybody expects is going to be there at the end, and I don't disagree with that take. The interesting thing to me is that when you look at both and they both play in the same building, who gives a damn about home court advantage? Like, I think that that's a great asset for those teams. People, whatever your thoughts are on load management, whether it should be a thing or not be a thing, I'm not the biggest fan of it. Those two teams can do it because nobody needs home court. Like, if the Lakers end up second, who cares?
Right.
If the Clippers end up second, who cares? They play in the same arena.
And I think ultimately you could maybe make an argument that you're going to have certain matchups earlier in the postseason. But really the West, 1-8, I think we've seen in recent seasons, those matchups are always tough. It's going to be a dogfight. And yeah, I think, you know, it'll be a lot of fun to see as the season continues to progress how those two teams, Clippers and Lakers, kind of grow into themselves. And ultimately, if it's a 6 or 7-game series, it just becomes a chess match. You know, each team has their strengths, who can play to their strengths, who can kind of expose weaknesses a little bit better. It'll be very interesting.
Yep. Cal Soderquist hanging out with me here, doing a little pregame leading up to the pregame with him on the Wolves Radio Network starting at 8 o'clock. All right, so let's talk Wolves. It's a little bit of a struggle right now. We got the losing streak going on, but you know what? No better way to snap out of a losing streak than to have a great atmosphere like tonight. When you have fans in the building and everybody's excited about everything and it's a nationally televised game, I think that that's an asset for us tonight. Even though it's a tough opponent, it doesn't matter. The atmosphere, it's going to be rocking in the building, I think.
I think so, and we've seen this team, too, rise to the challenge when the opponent is of a similar caliber as this Clippers team. So that, to me, is exciting. But, yeah, you move that tip-off back if anything, when the opponent is of a similar caliber as this Clippers team. So that, to me, is exciting. But, yeah, you move that tip-off back. If anything, it just gives fans more time to get down here, get into their seat by tip-off, and, like you said, see what should be both an electrifying matchup and then atmosphere right from the jump.
And I love a late start. You know why? because I'm a night owl, right? I'm here till 1 a.m. You know, Ryan Tanke from the Wolves has got me here till like 1 a.m. He probably, if it was up to him, he would probably want me here all night long.
Well, selfishly, once I wrap up my post game, road or home, I'll get into the car and turn on your show. So I like being able to hear that on the drive home.
I guess the thing that I enjoy hearing from people now is that I put them to sleep. All right, I put them to sleep. Hey man, great stuff. I'll be talking to you. Well, after the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're gonna do the pregame. It starts at 8. Then after the game with the postgame, and then I will take it from you. And then Dane Moore is gonna join me. He's been joining me in the postgame because we've been doing a lot of stuff with zone coverage here over the course of the last couple of weeks. Before you get out, when you look at tonight, and we should mention this for the people, and I know that you'll re-mention it on the pregame show, is that it sounds like there's gonna be a couple of Clippers that will be out. It sounds like Patrick Beverly is going to be down, and then also, who am I thinking? Oh, Lou Williams.
Yes.
Which is that significant, because Lou Williams is the best sixth man in the league, and we call him a sixth man, but he's like, to me, he's a star.
Right.
Like, I don't care if he starts or he comes off the bench. He's an absolute rock star.
Instant offense.
Yep.
Almost like what we've seen from Jeff Teague of late. You know, he moved to that role with the second unit, and he's able to be a little bit more aggressive looking for his own shot. Maybe Jeff takes advantage of not having to go punch for punch with Lou Will, and Patrick Beverley is a bulldog on the perimeter, so whoever gets a break by not having him chase them around is thankful.
I think that's an asset. David Fima, he's coming up and giving me a hard time. I think it's an asset, man, because that is a guy that I don't want to call him a Wolves killer because he does it to everybody around the league. But I guess one of his greatest assets is that down the stretch, regardless of who's guarding him, he just knocks down shots. At the end of the game, like, I go into tonight's game knowing that in the fourth quarter, Lou Williams is not going to be the guy. We know that Paul George is going to take shots. We know that Kawhi Leonard is going to take shots. But I really do believe for them to win an NBA title, he is about as good as you're going to find in terms of a third guy.
We've seen him make big plays. Both he and Montrezl Harrell have a real chemistry in that second unit on the pick and roll. So we'll see what changes with that, at least tonight from an X's and O's standpoint. But, yeah, it'll be nice to not have to look in the corner of your eye and worry about what Lou Will can do.
I know. I'm with you, man. All right, I appreciate the time, Cal.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll check in with Cal Soto, of course, after the game. He's going to have the pregame show right here, the radio host for Wolves Radio Network. All right, welcome back. Henry Lake hanging out here at Target Center in the Skyway booth. I am here right now, and I actually will be here after the game, clearly doing the post-game show, the call-in show, and then into late night because I'll be here till 1 a.m. But joining me now is Ryan Tanke. He's the Wolves COO because we got a big game tonight. We're playing the L.A. Clippers. It's a nationally televised game, and right now we got plenty of people in the Skyway that are waiting to enter Target Center. And the great thing about this Skyway studio setup is that we've got a bunch of TVs, so people are not only standing here watching us, but they're also watching a little LeBron James and the Miami Heat action.
So you don't think they're all here watching you?
No, they're all here watching you.
I think they're all here watching you, Lake.
They're not watching me right now. They're watching LeBron, and they're going to get ready to watch the Wolves take on the L.A. Clippers, one of the best teams in the NBA, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. So it's going to be a fun night. I guess let me start with this. When you have a situation where there's a shift because it's a nationally televised game, How exciting is it for everybody in the organization? Because as a media member, it's a lot of fun for me because – and I'm biased because I'm a Wolves fan, have always been. But whenever you get a chance to showcase your team and showcase the talent that you have, I think it's an awesome opportunity.
Yeah, how much fun is this to see, 2 hours before the game and people starting to fill into the Target Center right now for a game that, we've got a shot to have our second sellout of the season, something I know you and I have talked a lot about, Lake. But, we've got a great Friday night game. The 8:30 start, getting pushed back an hour and a half, actually is just going to enhance the atmosphere. I think beer sales will be pretty good tonight with people coming in early. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a great night at Target Center. I think the national platform that we have tonight, something Gerson actually has talked about a lot, is just building out this national program, right? And a place where people, players want to come and play, and, fans from around the country can start to get behind this. So it's great for us to have our first national TV appearance tonight so people around the country can see what's going on.
And with that, a lot of Wolves fans need to be paying attention to the jerseys tonight. We have the City Edition jerseys for the Wolves tonight. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, tonight is the launch of our City Edition. It's the third year of the City Edition platform, which was a program that was put together between the NBA and Nike when we shifted to the Nike uniform style 2 seasons ago. And this is our third. The first year we did, if you remember the gray uniforms, it was really a nod to the Super Bowl weekend. We launched it Super Bowl weekend that year, sort of the Bold North uniform that we had that year. Last year was, of course, the famed Prince-inspired City Edition uniform.
Awesome.
And so, something that wasn't just local, regional, national, but an international sort of program. And was, certainly our most popular uniform of all time. And we've somehow come back this year, and to our players, they think we've even topped last year.
I think it's amazing. It's hard to top last year, though.
Yeah, so for fans coming to the game, maybe some of you are driving in, tonight you'll see us debut our new MSP City Edition uniforms live. All fans in attendance will get a free T-shirt. So right now we've got 19,000 T-shirts in the arena draped over every seat.
Are you serious? That's awesome.
Every seat has got a baby blue MSP T-shirt on it. It's really a celebration of the Twin Cities, right? And we've got this great Minneapolis-St. Paul platform. The jersey itself has got a river, the Mississippi River, that runs down the side of it. And mm-hmm. So, we've got this great river that unites and divides, but yet unites the Twin Cities. And so we've got a great program here. You're right. The icy blue uniform is a cool look for us to launch another blue, palette, part of our palette. And so it's going to be great. And there's a whole bunch of Minneapolis-St. Paul-inspired events happening around the game tonight as well.
All right, we're up against the clock. It's a very short segment here, and I appreciate you hanging out with me. But real quick, in about 20 or 30 seconds, tell me about this sandwich here that's in front of me right now that I can't eat.
Yeah, part of the program for the MSP nights is we're bringing in a guest chef every night, a locally known chef. And so tonight, the first night, Thomas Bamer, who is the Revival, famous Revival Chicken, he is making a burnt end burrito that's available at the FEMA's Test Kitchen tonight. So each of the games, we're going to have a different locally known chef that's doing this.
All right, Ryan Tanke, who's the Wolves CEO. I appreciate the time tonight.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.